Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Our guest today is Dr. Jenna Gray Hildenbrand, who is one of the most recent additions to the Department of Philosophy here at MTSU. Dr. Gray Hildenbrand was brought aboard to grow our religious studies program. At present, religious studies is a minor, but we're going to talk to Dr. Gray Hildenbrand, who was brought in from the University of California at Santa Barbara, to find out about what she would like to do to see it expand possibly into a major. There is going to be another professor, a full-time tenure-track professor hired for the religious studies program. So we'll find out what this means for the curriculum, what it means for the students, and then we'll also get into some philosophical questions about some hot-button religious issues confronting our society today. All this and more right after these words from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. A college president addressing the retention and graduation issue in higher education at MTSU emphasized creating a campus culture that nurtures students. University of Maryland Baltimore County President Freeman Hrabowski kicked off MTSU's February 25th retention summit with a call to listen to more students' views. Tennesseans remain divided statewide on Governor Bill Haslam's plan to spend state money on private schooling for poor children, according to the latest MTSU poll. The poll found 46% opposed to the plan, but 40% in support of it. And the Council for the Advancement and Support of Education has recognized MTSU with 8 awards for marketing and communications excellence, including 2 top honors for the university's I Am True Blue efforts. For MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
I'm Jenna, G-I-N-A. So we'll do the Jenna routine here.
Perfect.
Sounds good to me. Dr. Rami Shapiro, who is an adjunct professor of religious studies here at MTSU and an ordained rabbi, has been on this show many, many times as a guest discussing religious issues and religious philosophies. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to embrace this academic discipline.
Well, my background is I grew up in Michigan, and I have my master's degree from the University of Colorado, and then I got my PhD at the University of California, Santa Barbara, so I've been slowly moving southwest, and now I'm in the south, so this is officially my 4th time zone that I've lived in and taught in. My area of expertise, my PhD, is in the study of religion and the law in the United States. So my research there focused on the criminalization of religious practice. So focusing on that sort of boundary between what our First Amendment freedom of religion protects and what is sort of beyond the realm or of acceptability or protection in this country. So I looked at instances where there were conflicts between the state and religious communities and how those religious practitioners whose practices were prohibited responded to the prohibition of their religious practices.
Just to cite an example, say the use of peyote buttons by Native Americans in their religious ceremonies.
Absolutely.
Right.
As well as one case I looked at was a Tennessee Supreme Court case involving serpent handling as well. So there's a lot of instances throughout American history where religious practices have been seen as deviant and illegal.
What about the seemingly ongoing dichotomy in our American society between freedom of religion and freedom from religion? That is to say, whether or not one can put a creche on the courthouse lawn, putting In God We Trust on our money, separation of church and state, and how that gets interpreted and misinterpreted. Are these areas that you also delve into?
Absolutely. I teach, last semester I taught a class on religion, law, and society, and that is also a class I'll be offering again in the fall. And one of the first issues we look at are the constitutionality of creche or nativity scenes on public property, that boundary between what's acceptable displays of religion in public, that these are very contentious issues. And so the courts have legal reasoning behind what is acceptable expression of religion in public and what isn't.
You get two parts of the First Amendment sometimes butting heads with each other, freedom of speech and freedom of religion. And these are the sorts of issues that get debated in the academic classroom in terms of the great philosophers of our time. I guess that would extend everywhere from Thomas Aquinas to Richard Dawkins. Tell me what a religious studies program should encompass. How do you envision the religious studies curriculum growing here and the types of classes that could be offered?
Well, you're bringing up a very important question when you are juxtaposing the constitutionality of what we can talk about as far as religion goes and how we can teach religion in a public institution, which is different than if you're at a private religious institution. So whether it's public displays of a nativity scene or a public institution teaching religion, in both instances, the state, the government, employees, etc., cannot be seen as endorsing one religion over another, which is one of the key components of those legal cases regarding religion in public spaces. Well, the same goes at MTSU. So in the religious studies classroom, we teach about religion. We don't preach religion. By understanding the beliefs and practices, sacred text of religious communities, we get a better understanding of current events today.
We'll be back with more on MTSU on the Record right after this.
Expanding Your Horizons is an annual hands-on science and math conference for middle and high school girls. EYH enables girls to investigate careers in science and math and to talk with female leaders in those fields that are so essential to our nation's future. EYH also provides the girls with fun, hands-on activities and allows them to meet girls with similar interests. I'm Dr. Judith Iriarte-Gross, EYH Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking with Dr. Jenna Gray Hildenbrand of the Department of Philosophy. She is taking over the Religious Studies program within that department and going to expand it. I come from the perspective of someone having been born and raised in the South. And
mm-hmm.
Extremely volatile dinner table debates going on all the time over in my house, growing up in my friends' houses, over niche parts of the Holy Bible, both Old and New Testament, with great specificity over what the scriptures actually mean.
Mm-hmm.
I take it that your students in California didn't really go there. Would you characterize most of your students in California as agnostic or spiritual but not committed to a particular denomination? Or how would you characterize them in the philosophies that they expressed in your classroom?
Well, I would say, I don't want to make sweeping generalizations, uh-huh. but in my experience, I think that at least with the MTSU students that I have met here and in my classroom, there's much more of a background in conservative Christian upbringing. Baptist, Church of Christ seems to be the two dominant denominations that my students come from. But I also have Jewish students and Catholic students and agnostic students and atheist students at MTSU. There's and Orthodox students. But I would say when I taught in California, I didn't have any Baptist or Church of Christ students, but there was a lot of different religious diversity. So I would have more Christian Scientists or more maybe New Age spiritual practitioners and people who they grew up maybe being exposed to a greater variety, a different variety of practices. So,
yeah.
And also, I would say, too, at that university, we had a religious studies major and a religious studies graduate program. So there were a larger number of courses that students were offered, mm-hmm. too, so that maybe that exposure had made things different. But I don't disagree that people are very passionate about religion, that religion, I don't know in what ways it's different than other ways of viewing the world compared to a philosophy, perhaps, or one's politics, I think also can be something that is almost equal to religion as far as how excitable, let's use that word, people can get and passionate about what they believe. But I think religion gives meaning to people's lives. It's something that's significant, important. It's what I've been studying for a long time and love talking about. So,
why did this particular discipline appeal to you, though, personally? What made you choose this academic path to go and to specialize in religious studies?
When I was an undergrad, I was a pre-med major, and I took chemistry, which was the weeding out class, and it weeded me out. It succeeded. And so my advisor told me, why don't you take some classes that are interesting to you? And I took women's studies classes and I took religious studies classes. And I just fell in love. And I went to the religious studies chair of the department and said, what can I do with this degree? I have to tell my parents that I'm, you know, doing this. And he said, well, you can become a professor or a journalist, or, you know, this can complement a number of different degrees. And so I decided that I would try this out and see if I go to grad school. And I love teaching. So and I was extremely happy to come to MTSU. So
you mentioned journalism. It seems that also when I was a child, religion was covered more by the media than it is today as a serious subject. I'm not talking about having a religion page where you get all the ads from all the different churches posted on there, and here's when our Sunday services are. I'm talking about literate pieces written about religion from all different kinds of perspectives, all different types of news stories. What's your idea of how the news media, mainstream news media, have chosen to view religion through its lens or interpret religion for its audiences?
I think it depends on the media outlet. Definitely. I turned on CNN and the news story was about the Church of Scientology and a book that had just come out critical of that religious group. And so it does seem like a lot of the coverage can be of either the far left or far right, or these sort of fringe movements that are seen as somehow odd or non-mainstream. And it seems that people are interested in religion. People are, at least the students that I've encountered at MTSU, are genuinely very interested in learning about world religions. So as far as the media and the coverage goes, I don't know why that would be the case. We need to bring it back.
This is MTSU on the record.
Specialized training in forensic science prepares tomorrow's professionals through the Forensic Institute for Research and Education, or FIRE. The Forensic Anthropology Search and Recovery Team assists law enforcement with skeletal remains at crime scenes. Legendary forensic scientists provide lectures free to the public, and high school students work realistic crime scenes each summer at our CSI MTSU camp. I'm Dr. Hugh Berryman, Director of FIRE.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're talking about the Religious Studies program at MTSU with Dr. Jenna Gray Hildenbrand of the Department of Philosophy. We're going to hire, you've said, another tenure-track professor for religious studies. Tell me a little bit about the timeline of that process and how it's going to proceed.
Well, right now we're in the process of interviewing. And so we got a pool of candidates, and then we narrowed that down and we did preliminary interviews, and then we're going to bring a couple people out here to campus to interview with the entire department, to meet our students and the administration, and then we'll make a decision, hopefully, definitely we'll make a decision this semester. So we're very excited about this opportunity. A department of one professor, or a program of one professor, is daunting. So we're very excited to have this other person come on board and help us to brainstorm the variety of ways that we could grow the program here at MTSU.
The new professor will start in the fall semester, is that correct?
Yes.
If a student was contemplating minoring in religious studies at MTSU right now, what kinds of courses would be available to him or her?
Well, right now, when I came here at the beginning of the year, we have a strong program on Christianity. So we are adjuncts. We have two wonderful adjuncts. You mentioned Rami Shapiro, who's been on the show, who have been teaching Bible course, a course on Jesus of Nazareth, a course on Christianity, and a number of other courses. So I bring to the table religion in the U.S., religion and law. I'm teaching a class on women and religion right now. Next semester, I'm teaching a class on cults and new religious movements. I'm putting together a class, an introduction to religion and society class that will be a lower division class. Right now, all of our classes are upper division classes, open to anyone who's interested. There's no prerequisites for them. And so the person that we're looking to grow hopefully could add a component of doing more East Asian religions, indigenous religions, and things of that nature. So really complement. We want to have a global multicultural perspective.
Is there a way that you can incorporate experiential learning into religion classes? What kind of ideas do you have for that?
Well, we've been toying around with some ideas there. And again, when we hire the new person, we'll be able to solidify something into the curriculum. But definitely I would like to formulate some way where we're working as a program with the student religious organizations on campus. We are trying to play around with some ideas of even bringing the students outside of the classroom. So getting out and actually going to meet with religious groups and religious leaders in the community, because we do have a lot of religious diversity in Middle Tennessee, that in Murfreesboro, on this campus, that we can tap into that resource.
Had you been keeping up with the news coverage of the mosque controversy in Murfreesboro before you came here?
I knew about it just from the media and the coverage of the conflict. I know some of my colleagues in religious studies, there was a CNN report that they use, and they used this clip in their religious studies classes. And when we were interviewing people for the new position, it was something that came up in almost all of our interviews, that this is what people know about Murfreesboro. And so myself and my colleague said, there's, you know, that's one part, it doesn't represent the entire community. So yeah, I had known about it, but I hadn't researched it at all.
Have you contemplated the possibility of honors courses in conjunction with the Honors College for students who want to take an even deeper exploration of religious studies within the classroom?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We started looking into that. I haven't contacted the Honors College yet to explore that possibility, but it's something we're very interested in doing. I know that members in the philosophy department have done that and really enjoyed that experience.
In your classes, just in describing or characterizing the way you teach, do you encourage a great deal of discussion? Are you textbook oriented? Are you oriented toward complementing the textbook with other materials, written materials? What's your approach to balancing all of the resources that you bring into the classroom?
In my classroom, I don't typically use a textbook. I try to bring together primary and secondary sources and have a story that we're telling throughout the semester with questions that kind of build upon one another. And so discussion is a key component of my classes. And I think what's great is that the students at MTSU are so excited to talk about religion. Though my first day of class, I had a class at 9:10 in the morning, and one of my colleagues told me, Jenna, they're, you know, it's early, they're not going to talk, it's not you, it's the time of day. And that class, all of my classes, there is no silence. I mean, people have something to say about religion, and when they take these classes, they really want to know about it. So discussion is a key component of my classes, but in a way where we're framing the discussion where we're not trying to convert one another to one hour or a different religious belief, or trying to tell everyone not to be religious, but that we talk about describing religion and understanding religious beliefs and practices, and then understanding how those beliefs and practices inform human behavior and society.
Isn't it fun to have an undergraduate level course where the discussion has all the vibrancy of a graduate level seminar course?
I love it. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I chose to come and work at MTSU is that we do have small class sizes. So my classes are no bigger than 30 students, and some of them are smaller than that. And that allows for the opportunity to have a smaller, to have that seminar style discussion. Where if you had a bigger class, I mean, I taught classes of 75 students. Some religious studies classes at other institutions are hundreds of students. Mm-hmm. You can't have a conversation where everyone is engaged in that kind of environment. So I think that we're really lucky at MTSU that we can have that learning environment that for students like you, where you want to have a conversation, you want to work through these ideas and bounce them off one another. And that opportunity definitely exists at MTSU.
It sounds as though you don't have very many classes where Bubba's sleeping at the back of the room and you have to wake him up. I mean, it looks like you've got really intelligent, involved students in your classes.
Yeah, and I think part of that too, I mean, none of my classes are a requirement for anything. So, I know that there are classes that are requirements that don't have Bubba sleeping in the corner. I don't want to imply that. But the students who sign up for these classes are doing so because they really genuinely want to be there. And they're small enough where if you are sleeping, that will draw attention. No one's going to let you sleep in class.
We'll return with more about the religious studies program on MTSU on the Record in just a moment.
The Middle East Center at MTSU seeks to promote greater understanding of the politics, history, and culture of this vitally important region of the world. Its mission includes the promotion of outreach programs and faculty research. The center sponsors lectures by Middle East experts and scholarly exchanges. We're especially pleased to offer a new interdisciplinary minor in Middle East Studies with courses in Arabic and Hebrew. This is Dr. Alan Hibbard, Center Director.
For all the latest MTSU information, go to mtsunews.com.
And in our final moments with Dr. Jenna Gray Hildenbrand of the Religious Studies Program under our Department of Philosophy here at MTSU, let's talk for a little bit about your perspectives on some of the ways that religion and the law butt heads sometimes. There is a train of thought with some Americans that America is a Christian nation because the founding fathers wanted it that way. And that gets tied into visions of American exceptionalism or beliefs in American exceptionalism. Can you clarify for us exactly how the founding fathers did or did not incorporate their religious beliefs into our basic legal documents in America?
Some people are originalists and say that what the founding fathers intended and believed is what we should be doing today. Other people say, no, the Constitution is a living document. There's no way the founding fathers couldn't have anticipated what our society would be like, the diversity of our society and culture today. So we can't really look to them as the be-all, end-all of how we should live and legally regulate our country today. You know, so much of this has to do with the political environment of whatever historical moment that you're talking about. So there's a number of books that have been written on this topic of this sort of myth of the founding fathers, and that we really need to stick close to that. Now, as far as whether, you know, there's people who have made arguments on both sides that this is a Christian nation, that was how it was intended to be. But what I'm more interested in is how people today then are using that line of rhetoric for a political gain in some way and what that really means. Because even within Christianity, what does that mean? Are we talking about Catholic Christian perspective? Are we talking about a Protestant Christian perspective and Orthodox? And
multifaceted even within one religion.
Exactly. So it becomes really complicated and on both sides.
Do you sense that atheists are becoming less stigmatized?
I think that, I mean, this is an interesting question. I'm not sure how to answer that as if there's less stigma for atheists. I know, you know, my background is surrounding legal conflicts, and my master's thesis was on a Supreme Court case regarding the constitutionality of Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. And this was brought about by an atheist father who did not feel that it was right for the state of California to require public school teachers to lead their class in the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance because Under God was in it, and that obstructed his rights as a father and an atheist in the education of his child. Mm-hmm. Now, she could leave the room, but he said, why does my daughter have to leave the room? It's a patriotic exercise. She's patriotic. I don't want her to say Under God. And so this set off a firestorm, and this gentleman actually had death threats. So, and this was back in the early 2000s. The case was 2004, if I remember correctly. So there's definitely still stigma, but I only know of these instances where there are legal conflicts, and there's always going to be a negative reaction to a legal conflict. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, and I wonder if it's different here than in California than in other regions of the country as well.
Mm-hmm. As you look down the road, say 5 or 10 years from now, do you see the possibility of religious studies becoming a major at MTSU?
This is something that we're exploring. There's right now our concentration is on growing the religious studies minor and finding out what our students want. Religious studies is a great complement to a variety of different majors, and especially when we're living in a culture that's becoming increasingly diverse religiously, the more multicultural our society and especially anyone who wants to do something in international affairs, or if you're going into education, or you're going to work in a hospital, essentially anywhere where you work with human beings or interaction with human beings, you're going to encounter someone of a different faith than you. And so having a background in religion is very, very useful and a marketable skill and knowledge set. And so we just want to really grow that our religious studies minor. A lot of students, we have a fair at the beginning of the school year where everyone's department comes out and we talk about our majors and our minors. And a lot of the students didn't even know that we had a religious studies minor here. So that's our first step, is growing the minor and finding out what students want. There's a number of concentrations on campus as well that are interdisciplinary or subfields within the larger field that we were thinking of. If that's one avenue, but a major would be wonderful. But that would be definitely down the road. We need more than two people for that.
Let's put your contact information out there in case people want more information about the Religious Studies program, with your office number and your email address.
I am in the James Union Building on MTSU's campus, room 308B, as in boy. And my email address is my name, so I'll spell it.
Okay.
jenna.graylden@mtsu.edu. It's a long one. But if you look up, if you Google MTSU philosophy and religious studies, you'll find me.
Or if you go to mtsu.edu, go to the A to Z index and click on philosophy. Thanks for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.